We're going deeper today as we continue to look at God's story. You know, in our last episode, we saw that there was a time in God's kingdom story where there was perfect harmony in the kingdom. We see that that harmony was disrupted at the sin and rebellion of one of God's created beings and one of his subjects, Lucifer. And that rebellion was kicked off with a question and opposition of who has the right to rule over everything that God has created. So what we ended up with in God's kingdom story, we see that in our current reality, we find ourselves living with the experience of two kingdoms. Let's call them the kingdom of God, and the second we'll refer to as the kingdoms of this world that are led by the prince of the air, that fallen angel Lucifer, the one we call the devil, we know as Satan. So in these two opposing forces that impact our current reality that we're living in right now, every one of us, we should also know that the concept of these two kingdoms doesn't mean equality, as if they're both the same. They're equal in power and force. We're not proposing that there is a dualism at play in these kingdoms, an aspect of a yin and a yang that says these opposing forces are equal and having the same strength and vigor as they fight for one another. Listen, God's kingdom is eternal. It was not created. He is the sovereign over all his creation. We know that rebellion and sin does not diminish his right to rule. However, the opposing force, how counterfeit it is, how temporal it is, it does challenge God's sovereign authority. So, as we look at God's kingdom story and we see how does it impact our present reality, we have to recognize, yes, the kingdom of God is at work and is real, but there is another kingdom that is at play as well, the kingdoms of this world. So let's define them a little bit. We'll define the kingdom of God in a couple of ways. First, conceptually, we know it is God's rule and his reign exhibited over his creation. It starts within our hearts. And then it permeates out to all of our circles of influence, and our circles connect with others who belong to that kingdom, making up the subjects in the realm and the right of his kingdom rule, right? So we have his right and his rule exhibited over creation. But for it to be a kingdom, there needs to be three characteristics that really play in. There's a right, right? His sovereign rule, his reign. But there's also, for it to be a real kingdom, the kingdom of God, there must be a realm in which it's exhibited. The area and the subjects that are under the sovereign's rule. And then there has to be a reality of that rule being played out. The exercise of the authority of royal rule. And in this, we see the kingdom of God, it has its right, the rule and reign of God over all creation. It has its realm, the heavenlies and the earth, where God is ruling over his subjects. His rule is established in our hearts as we submit to the King of Kings and become sons and daughters, servants of his kingdom, and ambassadors expanding it. And we know that his sovereign rule is being exercised. The reality of it is taking place now, and we'll see it take place so much more to come. That's how we'll define the kingdom of God. But let's look into this other concept of this opposing, counterfeit kingdom, challenging God's authority, his right to rule, that we're understanding as the kingdoms of this world. Where do we get this language? We first see it in Matthew chapter 4, verse 8, where the prince of this age, the prince of this world, the one governing the kingdoms of this world and opposing the kingdom of God, he uses this language when he tempts Jesus in the desert in Matthew chapter 4, verse 8. Again, the devil took Jesus up to a very high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of this world and their splendor. And Satan said to Jesus, "All this I will give you if you bow down and worship me." Submit yourself to the prince of this air. Come under my rule and my reign over you, Jesus, and I'll give you all of the kingdoms of this world. Here was Jesus' reply. "Away from me, Satan, for it is written, worship the Lord your God and serve him only." Now, that's not the only place we see this language of the kingdoms of this world. We see it again in Revelation chapter 11, verse 15. We're going to see what it looks like for the kingdoms of this world to be redeemed from the control of Satan, the prince of this air. And here's what it says. It says, the seventh angel sounded his trumpet, and there were loud voices in heaven which said, the kingdom of this world has become the kingdom of our Lord and of his Christ, and he will reign forever and ever. So we see the kingdoms of this world currently in opposition to the kingdom of God, that they will be redeemed, but that reality is not yet. So here's the big implication for us. Really, let me pose it to you as a question as we're going deeper on the concept of God's eternal kingdom and how it relates to our present reality. Here's my question for you. Which kingdom do you belong to? Now, I've already defined them both for you. Kingdom of God, his right to rule, the realm in which he rules, his place, the heavenlies and the earth, and the subjects of the king, those who've submitted themselves to King Jesus, starting within them and experiencing all around them, and the reality of that rule being exercised right now and to come. We've read about it. But which kingdom do you belong to? Let me further define the kingdoms of this world. It can be very conceptually. A kingdom of this world representing itself in materialism, in injustice, in pride, in lust. But let me get even more specific and personified. The kingdoms of this world being represented as human governments, political factions, even world religions. When we think about the kingdoms of this world, when they take on form, shape, and personification, what we're really looking at is anything that stands itself up in opposition to God's right to rule the human heart. And here's my question for you again. Which kingdom do you belong to? How do you find yourself aligning with the kingdom of God or the kingdoms of this world? Which kingdom do you belong to? The kingdom of light, where you're walking in truth, you're walking in freedom? Or the kingdom of darkness, where you feel like you're living in a fog. Everything around you that you're standing on feels like shifting hand with no sense of stability. Listen, when we align ourselves with the kingdom of God, we enter in the freedom that comes with submitting to King Jesus, rather than living as a slave in the kingdoms of this world. We find ourselves set free to be our authentic, true self and who God's created us to be in his kingdom as a kingdom citizen, rather than held as a slave in the insecurity and trappings and prison cells of the kingdoms of this world. So again, in recognition of the kingdom of God at play, and the kingdoms of this world opposing it as our current reality. Here's my question for you once again. Which kingdom do you belong to? The invitation of the King through his death and his resurrection and the promise of his return is where he reaches out to you with his nail-scarred hands. And what he says, because of who I am as the King of all kings, because of what I have done when I invaded this earth, overcame the kingdoms of this world, defeated the prince of darkness, stole the keys of death, hell, and the grave, and by the life that I have in my resurrection, I reach out to you and say, come out of the prison cells of the kingdoms of this world. I've already unlocked the door. It is wide open. You are set free. So come out of the kingdoms of this world and come in to the kingdom of God. What does that look like? Man, to come out of the kingdoms of this world is to say, I realize King Jesus has set me free. He's done everything for me. And according to John chapter 1, he gives me the right. He gives me the power. He gives me the privilege to become a child of God, a citizen of the kingdom of heaven right now in my present reality. So by faith, I step out of those prison cells, trusting in his provision, believing on his promise. I step out of that prison cell. I step in to the rule and reign of Christ over my life, and he sets me free. I take on a new name and a new identity. I get to be my real self for the first time. And from now on, in this life and the kingdom to come, I am known as a kingdom citizen. Listen, today you can do that. Jesus has already made the way. You can step out of the prison cells of any kingdom of this world that has you enslaved. Listen, just identify it right now. It's in opposition to the rule and reign of Jesus over your life. It has you deceived. It has you proud. It has you isolated. It keeps you insecure. That's what Jesus died for. That's what he rose again for. And he has unlocked that door. He's flung it wide open, and he's extending his hand to you. Would you trust him? Would you take him by the hand? And when you take that first step in faith and obedience, watch him usher you right through the threshold of the kingdoms of this world and place you solidly in the kingdom of God, with the freedom, power, right, and privilege of his rule and reign being established over you. Here's how you can do that right now. Just call on his name right there where you're at, whatever you're doing. Just call on his name and say, Dear Jesus, I know that I've sinned against God. I have rebelled and I have rejected his sovereign rule over my life. I want to step out of the kingdoms of this world and enter into the kingdom of God by letting his rule and your reign be established over my life. I ask you to forgive me of my sin and come into my life and take control. Jesus, make me a citizen of the kingdom of heaven. Listen, the gospel of the kingdom says he has given you the right, privilege, and power to come out and enter in. And today, if you've called on his name in that way, you have become a kingdom citizen. You've joined the kingdom of God. Now continue on in this world, being in it, but not of it.